I've now served here as a pastor for 4 months. And each month I realize more and more what I've gotten myself into. And each month reveals more and more blessings. The month of December has topped it all off. And you're never going to get rid of me, at least not during the month of December, because I have received comfort food in December like you wouldn't believe. These vanilla cookies, oh, they're delicious with coffee. That's right. And then, oh, there's this tub of mixed things, and I especially like the chocolate-covered peanuts, you know. Comfort food in abundance in the month of December right here at Shawnee Hills. And then there was the peanut brittle. Oh, the peanut brittle. Oh, this was wonderful. I would name who gave those to me, but maybe she didn't give them to you, and you'd be jealous. So, and then came the why I'm really happy to be a Buckeye is because you guys make Buckeyes. The month of December has been filled with comfort food, but then comes January, and it's not going to be too comforting, is it? Yes, right. So we won't talk about this because the comfort food is wonderful, but that is not comforting. This morning, I make fun of the word comfort because this morning, as we come together, I realize that oftentimes we look for comfort in all the wrong places. Sometimes we seek comfort from things that actually hurt us and don't help us. Just ask the binge shopper when they get their credit card statement that. Or ask the bar hopper the next morning, and we discover that sometimes we look for comfort in all the wrong places. And you know what? Tough times like we've been through this past year make us long for comfort. I don't have to name the tough things we've been through. You're well aware of them. We've mocked them. We've talked about them. We've read about them. We've written about them. Over and over it goes. You're well aware of what's happened to us this past year. And I'm very aware that some are not even with us physically this morning. They're with us virtually. They're watching from the comfort of their own home. They're seated in their favorite recliner, and they have their cozy, fuzzy slippers on. But you know what? They want to be here with us. That's not comforting, is it? It's not comforting. We long for comfort. And this morning, we're going to take our Bibles in just a minute, and we're going to open up to a place of comfort. You see, this is the last Sunday of the year. It's the last Sunday of the year. And as we look at the book of Isaiah this morning, we're going to discover genuine comfort that does help. We're going to see these words that were originally written to a group of people who, like us, they were in a big, big, tough situation. They needed comfort. And truly, their situation makes ours look a little bit like a cakewalk. You see, our trials have pushed us into our homes, but their trials actually took away their homes. Our trials have caused some social distancing, but their trials actually separated friends and family forever. Some of them they never saw again. Our enemy has been a virus, and their enemy was a hostile army that had no mercy. Our government, though we might question our government sometimes, yet our government attempts some form of relief. But their government was completely destroyed to the point that it offered no help to them. The context of this morning's message on comfort is found in Isaiah chapter 40. And this message from Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40 is a message of comfort, both to the nation of Israel and to us. This message was given to the prophet Isaiah by God Almighty, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. And you know, this is the same God that we worship every time we gather here at Shawnee Hills. The God of the Israelites is the God of Shawnee Hills. He is our God. And this message from Isaiah is a good one for us to hear this last Sunday of the year. Now, I realize that a history lesson might be a little dry for us this morning. But the context, what is happening in Isaiah chapter 40 is significant. You see, it's the prophet Isaiah and his messages to the nation of Israel during the reign of four different kings. And for those who are really interested in history, it was King Uzziah and King Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, and the years were between 790 BC to 686 BC. That's for those who are really interested in history, okay? But this is significant because these years in Israel's history was a time of great struggle, both politically, socially, spiritually. It was during this time that Isaiah rose to deliver this message at God's command about a promised glorious kingdom to come for the nation of Israel. And Isaiah urged the nation not to rely on Egypt or any other source for comfort other than Yahweh, the genuine promise keeper, the one who offers comfort. Isaiah wanted the Israelites to know that they can take God at his word. And you know what? We need to know that too. We can trust our God. Their situation was dire, and they were losing all hope after 70 years of exile, and they were ready to give up. They were questioning the goodness of God. And like us, they needed encouragement, and they needed comfort. Do you know the name Warren Wiersbe? He wrote this statement about this passage that I find helpful. He writes this about where to look for comfort. If we look to others for comfort, we'll be distressed. If we look to ourselves for comfort, we'll be depressed. But if we look to God for comfort, we'll be blessed. That's exactly where we need to go this morning. As we look for comfort, we need to look to where true comfort comes from. You see, in our world of insecurities, we can be secure in a God who keeps his promises. And this morning, I remind you, church, to cheer up because things are going to get better. That's a promise from God that we can count on. So this morning, if you're able to take your Bible and stand, I invite you to do so. I did not print the text this morning on the screen because I want you to see it in your own copy of the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we'll be reading from this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. We're just going to be reading the first 8 verses, though if we read the whole chapter, you would not be disappointed. But we only have time for those first 8 verses. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Reading from verse 6. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Will you bow your heads, and can we just take a moment with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed to ask God to take these words that were written thousands of years ago and make them practical, not just for today, but for the coming year ahead. Father, would you take your word? Would you remind us that you are the promise keeper that we can trust? Would you remind us that your word stands forever? Father, encourage us, we pray. And remind us again and again of your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now you can be seated, but don't shut your Bibles. Because once again, I want you to follow this text with me this morning as we look at these genuine words of comfort. As a matter of fact, it starts with, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and to cry to her that her warfare has ended. And let me just stop right there and say that God is promising to his people Israel. First off, he's offering them these words of comfort. They needed to know that their trials were coming to an end. Their trials were coming to an end. That's the statement that her warfare is ended. You see, what the Israelites were going through was trials that were caused from warfare. The Israelites' hardship, they had been taken captive by the nation of Babylon. And during this time period that they were taken captive, before that, the Lord had caused siege to come onto their capital nation of Jerusalem. And that siege lasted one year. And then after that, many thousands of Jews were taken from their homeland, and they left the city of Jerusalem in ruins. The Jewish people would be allowed to return to their homeland and to their capital city of Jerusalem, but only after 70 years of exile. 70 years. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2 announces to them that though they are still in exile, that it was coming to an end. This is words of comfort, that they would be allowed to return to their homeland. And that was fulfilled in the year 587, and the Jews were allowed by King Cyrus of Persia to return to Jerusalem. And at that time, they began to rebuild the city, and maybe you're familiar with the writing of Ezra, the writing of Nehemiah, and that's the context there. Once again, I realize history can be a little boring to us. But this morning, we need to know that there have been people that have endured a whole lot more than we have. This is an example of a people who needed comfort, the Israelites. And the prophet Isaiah is offering them this comfort that their trials were coming to an end. And secondly, that he is offering the comfort that their sins were forgiven. The text says that her iniquity is pardoned. You see, the Babylonian captivity came as a judgment from God upon the nation because they had been overwhelmed by idolatry, the worship of false gods. That's the context. And during this time, they were being judged by God. And you know when they returned to Jerusalem, that they had a revival that took place. And never again did they go into such idolatry as they had done before. That revival was genuine because they had received the judgment of God. And yet God is saying through the prophet Isaiah that your sins are forgiven. That is a message of comfort, not just for them, but for us. And we're going to get back to that in just a minute. But thirdly, I want you to see that they were receiving words of comfort because the justice of God was satisfied. The text says that she, speaking of Israel, Jerusalem, had received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. This is a way of saying that their judgment was so severe that it satisfied God's justice. They were forgiven, but their sin had been paid for. The punishment was complete. And this is good news to them. This is good news. And lastly, they are receiving a reminder that a Messiah is coming. And that's from verses 3 and 4, where it says, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall be level and the rough places plain." The situation, the culture was when a king was coming to town, they would go out and they would work on the road. They would pave the way for the king. So when he came into town, it was a warm welcome. And that's what's being communicated here by Isaiah, referring to the coming of the Messiah. The nation of Israel for years had longed for the king, the king, the king of kings to come. And they needed a reminder that that promise would still be fulfilled. And that's what is being communicated here. By the way, Isaiah talked often about the coming king. Even Isaiah chapter 7 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you should call him his name Emmanuel." Now we've heard those words recently, haven't we? And you know what? The Israelites were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And that promise was still true. They didn't realize it, though. These words that we just read from Isaiah chapter 40 are also a reference to the coming of John the Baptist, who did just that. He paved the way for Jesus. Do you remember what John said when he saw Jesus coming? He said, "Behold the," what's the next word? "Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist is the fulfillment of this prophetic message in Isaiah chapter 40. John the Baptist paved the way for the coming of Jesus. You see, the nation of Israel was comforted with these promises that Isaiah is giving to them. They are comforted. They needed the assurance of God's promises, and so do we. You know, we, the church of Jesus Christ, need to be comforted just like the Israelites did. We can be comforted knowing that the Messiah has now come. And that's the context we read in verse 5 when it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." Jesus has been revealed, and we've been talking about him from this pulpit all Sundays this month. The coming of the Messiah. He has come. He has come. And you know what it says in this verse? "And all flesh shall see it together." This message is not just for the Israelites. This is for all nations. This is for all nations, this message of comfort. That's why John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. We should be comforted knowing that the Messiah has come. This is an encouragement to us. And not only is that a comfort, but also the truth that we can be completely forgiven. Who takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. God's justice has been satisfied through Jesus' sacrifice. John, I'm going to turn to another John for a minute. The Apostle John wrote these words in 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You ready for a promise that you can count on? But if you confess your sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. The text go on to say, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, why can we be forgiven? Here's the answer. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This message of comfort is not just for the nation of Israel. It's for all nations. Jesus has come, and Jesus satisfied the justice of God through his sacrificial death on a cross. Those are comforting words. That's genuine comfort that you can count on. That's the good news. But there's one more thing I want to mention. We can be comforted. We can be because of the certainty of his glorious return and reign. And once again, we have talked about this from the pulpit time and time again the past few weeks, that Jesus came the first time to a manger, and the second time he's going to come and be seated on a throne. He is going to rule and reign. We can be certain on the glorious return and reign of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus had been resurrected, before he ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, we have a scene where the disciples are standing there, and they're watching their Lord ascend into heaven. And suddenly, there were men dressed in white, probably angels, who stood there beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is a comforting promise of God that Jesus is going to return. And we need to remind each other of that. We need to remind each other of that. And that's why we've continually talked about that in the month of December. Jesus is coming again. And you know what? We can be certain of these words. Do you see that in verse 5 of our chapter, of Isaiah chapter 40? It says, "The mouth of the Lord has spoken." The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah is reminding the people, this is not my words. This is God's word. We can count on it. We can take it to the bank. God has promised, and God will keep his word. These promises are meant to offer us comfort in difficult days. But we need to know with certainty that the Lord's promises are certain. We need to be convinced of that. Yes, our world is frail. Our world is filled with insecurity. It's all around us. It's all around us. As a matter of fact, the text says, it describes the flesh as grass and its beauty like the flower of a field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. We're coming out of this season we've just been through realizing that how frail we are. People are dying around us. Death has come so close, and we realize how frail we are. And then our relationships have been affected too. It's not just physically, but relationally. Relationships are falling apart around us, all because of disagreements over handling this virus situation. We are frail, and we are feeling the insecurity of our world. And yet, if you look at the end of chapter 40, this is where some of you have been waiting to go, because these words at the end of Isaiah chapter 40 are precious when it says in verse 30, it describes that even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But here's a promise, but they who wait, or they who trust, or they who hold God at his word shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Though we are frail, we are discovering our world around us is filled with insecurity, yet God's word is packed with absolute certainty. Did you notice the very end of verse 8? It says, but the word of our God will stand forever. The word of our God will stand forever. God's word is packed with absolute certainty. He has granted us his precious and very great promises that we can count on. So this morning, I give you this message as a bit of a reminder, maybe to truths that you know, but we're so quick to forget when we go through difficulties. And sometimes we look for comfort in all the wrong places. Sometimes we go to things that actually hurt us instead of help us. This has been a reminder. Now comes the exhortation. I want to exhort you. I plead with you this morning to grow in your understanding of God's promises. We as a church need to come together to grow in our understanding of who our God is. You see, during the next few days, I want you to take some personal time to grow in your understanding of God's promises. There's three ways. First one is to make a list of five of your favorite promises of God. And I've given you blanks on your handout to list those five promises. There's more than 100. There's hundreds of promises of God throughout the scriptures. And I've listed a website, and that website lists 100 promises of God. What is your favorite promise of God? List them on those blanks. Take some time to do that. Now you may say, oh, Pastor Dave, you don't realize I got to go back to work tomorrow, and I got to work all this week. And I say back to you, no, no, no. If we just go back to life like normal, we're going to fall into these same traps. We need to get serious about the promises of God. We need to make a list. We need to cling to those promises. Secondly, I want you to find a Bible reading plan for 2021. Now, there's a website listed on your handout that has options for Bible reading plans. I am absolutely committed to reading through the Scriptures, and I've done this since I don't know the exact year, but in the 1980s, I took some classes at Cedarville, and my professor was David Warren, and David Warren gave me some of the best wisdom I received in my Cedarville years. He said, you ought to read through the Scriptures every year from a different translation. And you know, I took that serious, and I did that, and I'm still doing that, and that has been a great benefit to me. There's another person this morning that is convinced of the importance of reading through the Scriptures. He's not here physically, but he's here virtually. He's listening, and his name's David McLean. This morning, David is listening, and he has given us something this morning to help you. It's a green sheet, and it's in the back in the foyer on a table, and it's tips on how to read the Bible and how to study the Bible. And David said that I could share that with you, and it has some practical ideas of Bible reading. David is also planning to read the Geneva Bible this next year. There's another person listening virtually this morning that today she is finishing up her last reading for 2020. Now, what is today? Today is the 27th. So Ann Jeanette Hook is finishing her reading ahead of schedule today. Can you imagine that? And for those of you who know Ann Jeanette, you might say, how did she find time to do that? She was rushing from one doctor appointment to another. And yet, she stuck with it. She said to me on the phone, and by the way, I do have permission to share this with you this morning. She did say on the phone, she said, you know, I didn't always read it. Some days I didn't feel that well, so I would listen to it. And she used an app on her phone called the YouVersion app, which gives you that option. So there's another example of a resource you can take advantage of an app on your phone. I mention these people not to glorify them, but I want these people and to be an example to us to find a plan for 2021 and use it. And then once again, in the back, there's some examples of some plans you can take advantage of. And these are a table in the foyer. Why do I say all this? Because I believe that if we're going to take God's word seriously, if we're going to know that he is the true promise keeper, we need to understand what he's promised to us. And we only know that when we spend time in his word. One other thing I'll mention to you is that this church, Shawnee Hills, is offering you opportunities to get involved in Bible study. If you're not a part of an ABF, we'll begin those on January the 10th. Come, adults, and get involved in an ABF, an adult Bible fellowship. Or for the youth, there is Sunday school. And then on Sunday evenings, there's equip nights for men and women. Ask us, and we'd love to plug you into one of these available options for you so you can be convinced that he is the promise keeper, because we live in a world of insecurities. And I'm convinced that the only way we will, I'm convinced, overcome the insecurities is when we remember that the promise keeper is still there and we can take him at his word. Will you close your eyes? And this morning's message, I hope it has been a comfort to you, not because of my words, but because of his word. And I ask you this morning, even as you pray in closing, to commit yourself to falling in love with God and taking him at his word. And that is so true, Father. This morning, you have given us great and precious promises, and we're so quick to forget them. We're so quick to spend our time with the insecurities all around us. May we fill our day with the promises of your word. May we fill our hearts with them. All of this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.